Good evening. That sounds like you heard me. Good. Welcome to the gospel meeting. I'm glad to see you here. God is glad to see you here. I look over an audience like this so often and think, oh, if we only knew. If each of us here only knew how much God loves us. How much God loves you. You know, we spend our lives, some of us learning, some people never learn how much God loves them. I'm destined to learn it forever. You know, the other day at Bible Truth Publishers, I took care of a fellow that came in and bought two New Testaments. And then on the way out, he said, God bless you. And I said to him, you know, I am eternally and irrevocably blessed. And he said, I hope someday I can say the same thing. And I said to him, you can. Because every work that God starts, he finishes. Has God begun a work in your soul? If he hasn't, you're dead. God gave you life. What did he give you a life for? He gave you a life to glorify him. Is he going to accomplish his purpose in you? Well, you know, the whole issue is sin. We're going to talk about sin tonight. Sin and its consequences. So let's sing hymn number 19. Hymn number 19 on the hymn sheet.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So that not one spot remains. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of
It's a wonderful thing about forgiveness. People don't understand it. So often I hear the gospel presented and people say, oh, you need to ask God for forgiveness. I'm not saying it's wrong to ask God for forgiveness, but I want you to think about this. I can't think of any place in the New Testament where we're told to ask for forgiveness. The Old Testament says in Psalm 86 that God is ready to forgive. Matter of fact, the Hebrew word there is, he is forgiving. That's his nature. God is more interested in forgiving you tonight than you are in getting his forgiveness. God forgives. That's why Jesus died. So he could forgive. The other thing I thought I'd mention is passing before I pray is because of my bad memory and poor eyesight, I have a hard time sometimes recognizing faces or remembering faces. And then, of course, with a bad memory, remembering names. And if I don't greet you properly, I still love you. So I just ask you for forgiveness on that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness this evening. We thank you above all for the Lord Jesus Christ, that great gift. Because of that great love, we thank you for your word this evening. We pray that it may have its proper effect in our hearts and minds and consciences and lives. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. This night is significant because God has had this night in mind from eternity past. And I want to talk about this night, for you find it two places in Scripture, maybe more, but there's two places that I can think of. And the first is in Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12, we'll read from the first verse. Exodus 12, and the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of souls. Remember that word, souls. It's a very significant word. According to the number of the souls, every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh, and that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertness thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And ye shall eat it with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. And up to this point, it's instructions for the people. And now God says, this is what I'm going to do. It is the Lord's Passover, and I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. Now you know that earlier, just a few minutes ago, I talked about forgiveness. And Psalm 130 says, there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Because the person who has the right to forgive also has the right to judge. And God hates sin, and God will judge sin. That's what the Bible tells us. The wages of sin is death. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And there's not a single person here who has not, at one time or another, been guilty of sin. And people say, well, I'm not a murderer. But selfishness is a sin. Lying is a sin. Talking back to your parents is a sin. Refusing to listen to someone speaking to you can be a sin. Jealousy is a sin. Forgetting God is a sin. Because sin is anything, according to scriptures, we're told in 1 John chapter 3, sin is lawlessness. Anything we do outside of God's will is sin. Scripture tells us, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, we're familiar with the story. The children of Israel were in the land of Egypt, and God was going to deliver them. Egypt was a very wicked land, and they had made slaves of God's people, and God had determined to deliver them in a very dramatic way. And so God said, in verse 7, they shall take of the blood. What's the blood? From the lamb. Every house was to have a lamb, and they were to kill it and take the blood from the lamb. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts, on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. In other words, it was important to be in the house where the blood was. And so we have here three houses to represent three different kinds of people. We know it's very possible that some Egyptians got wind of what was going to happen, and maybe some of the Egyptians put the blood on the door. We don't know. It is possible. Because when God said, I see the blood, he didn't say, when I see the Israelites, I'll pass over. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But then we know very well from Scripture, there were a number of Egyptians who did not put the blood on the door or the doorposts. They were not sheltered by the blood. They either were ignorant or indifferent to this message. Maybe they didn't know anything about it. And God is in control of all that. Or maybe they heard and laughed one time too many, and there was no blood on the door. Now we have, each of these houses has a window that indicates the condition of the people inside. In the houses of the Egyptians, there was darkness, so to speak. Spiritual darkness, they had no hope. I want to tell you tonight, my friend, if you're not sheltered by the blood of Christ, you're doomed. It's that simple. And you say, well, you're just talking. No, it's not just me. God has said it. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. He says in Leviticus 17, it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. God requires the blood. Now we're talking tonight. We sang about the blood of Jesus that cleanses from all sin. They didn't have the blood of Jesus then. Then they had the blood of a lamb to represent the blood of Jesus. The Israelites had the lambs. God made sure that even though they were slaves in the land of Egypt, they still had access to a lamb. Think of that. That was God's mercy. And it's God's mercy tonight that you can be saved, that you can come to Jesus, you can receive him as the Lamb of God provided for you. And so I'm sure there were some Israelites, because I know people. I know there were some Israelites that were in doubt. There was a little light in their home, but they were afraid. And there were some that were confident, I'm sure. Some were totally confident in God's word. They knew they were safe. They'd seen what God had done in Israel in the previous plagues. And they had the blood on the door, And they had the word of God to guarantee it, where God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Now, we know what it was, what the result was. There was death in the land of Egypt that night. And every house that didn't have the blood had death. God hasn't changed. He still requires the blood. And if you are not protected with the blood of Christ tonight, that is your future. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Well, we know this family here who had confidence in God, they put the blood and they ate the lamb, the roast lamb inside the house with confidence. We know what the result was for them. 100% safe. Are you 100% safe tonight? You know, the blood of Jesus is sufficient. The Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If you're cleansed from all sin tonight, you're 100% safe. You may say, I just don't feel safe. I know there's many who have come to conferences like this, who have grown up in Christian homes, who've been exposed to Scripture all their life, and they're occupied with their feelings. Feelings are not faith. People mistake their feelings for faith. When they feel confident, they say, oh, I believe this or I believe that. And they boast. And when they don't feel confident, then they're all occupied with themselves. Well, this family, 100% safe. What about the family that was, they were in the side, maybe they were eating the lamb, but not enjoying it. And there's maybe some tonight here who, yes, they say, I believe, but I'm not a happy Christian. I want to tell you tonight, you can be a happy Christian. I'm not saying you'll be leaping with joy all your life. That's not what I'm saying. The Lord Jesus is our example. He was a man of joy, but he's also a man of sorrows. And this world is full of sorrow. And we feel it. But joy is a choice. When we believe God, the Bible tells us the fruits of the Spirit are love, and the next one is joy. When we believe God, the Spirit works joy in our hearts. This family, and this may represent people here in this room tonight, who you say, well, I believe God, but, and there's buts in your life. Were they safe or not? 100% safe. Why? Because God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. You see, everything depends on God. If we couldn't trust the blood of Christ, if we couldn't trust the word of God, if we couldn't trust God himself, who can we trust? Now, that was that night in Israel. This night, God says, I will pass over you. But there were three nights. Three examples of this night, which I want to talk about. So put these back up. So I want you to think about this night tonight. It may be that you have put off deciding for Christ. It may be that you say some other time. But when God says this night, it's because he has a specific night in mind. God is precise. God has every moment of the future in every moment of our lives before Him. So for the second story of this night, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. We were in Exodus 12. Now let's turn to Luke chapter 12. We'll start with verse 13. There were some people listening to the Lord Jesus. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he, that is Jesus, said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or divider over you? And he said unto them, all the people that were listening, take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. You know, all of us are occupied with things. Too many of us are pack rats. We're occupied with things. And the world is occupied with things. And things have their place. But a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things which he possesseth. So many people think, oh, if I had just this item or that, I'd be happy. And they get it and they're not happy. Because things don't bring happiness. And the sooner we learn that in life, the better. They have their use. And they serve as idols. But they don't bring happiness. Verse 16, and he spoke a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? So here's a man, God gave him a prosperous harvest. And God has blessed many in this room tonight. Is there anybody here tonight that doesn't have a bed to sleep in? Do you have a home somewhere? Do you have a car that you're able to get here in a car? Have you really been starving lately? No, God's provided for everyone in this room abundantly. And this man, he had received abundance of things from God. And he thought, verse 17, he thought within himself, oh, there's the problem. We heard about thoughts last night. You know, one of my common prayers to God is, Lord, keep my thoughts. We are so prone to think our own thoughts. He thought within himself, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my goods? So he had a problem. And he looked to himself for the solution. My friend, that's not the way to do it. You got a problem, take it to the Lord first. He deserves that honor. And he knows more about your situation than you do. And he cares more about your situation than you do. But this man failed to take his problem to God. He thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul. There's that word again, soul. Because every one of us has a soul. And this man realized he had a soul. I don't know if the Egyptians realized, all of them, I believe they did realize, because if you look into the Egyptian history, they believed they had souls, because they made provisions for life after death, at least for the important people. That's why we have the pyramids over in Egypt. They recognized a life after death. There is a life after death. There's a life that after death, and that matters, because we have souls that go into that life. You know, about 200 years ago, a little bit less than 200 years ago, a young man by the name of William Kelly graduated from Trinity College in Dublin. And his professors are so impressed with his abilities that they offered him a position on the faculty right away. As soon as he graduated, they wanted him to become a professor. And the director of the department said to him, "You take our offer and you're set. You will really make your way in the world." And he said, "Which world? Which world are you living for tonight? The world we live in is going to disappear. The world to come is forever." But this man was not thinking about that. God, he said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." His whole thought was pleasure. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." This night, that man had gone through many nights and nothing remarkable had happened. But there came this night when God said, "This is it. This is the end. This night thy soul shall be required of thee." Then whose shall these things be? And that was the end of that man. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." What if God said that to you tonight? Are you ready to meet God tonight? Every person should be ready to meet God instantly on his terms. I've had people say, "Oh, I'm ready to meet God. I'll tell him a thing or two." No, that you won't. Are you ready, really ready to meet God? Quit thinking about the person next to you or the person across the room. Are you ready to meet God? That's the most important question in life, because you're going to leave it someday, perhaps sooner than you think. And the time to get ready is now. And God came to this man, called this man, spoke to him, said, "Thou fool, this night shall be, thy soul shall be required of thee." There came a last night for that man. Are you ready to meet God? There came a last night in Egypt for many people when God passed through the land. There's going to come a last night for every soul, a last night on earth for every person in this room. It's going to happen. Because this, we're all going to leave this world one way or another. By the way, what was that man's name? He got a picture of a gravestone. What's written on it? Well, let's look on the other side. "Thou fool." That's the best name we have for him. He was not prepared for eternity. I remember being in a gospel meeting many years ago, and I walked up to a young man afterwards, and he looked upset, and I said to him, "What's the problem?" Well, there was a brother who had been preaching on the fools in Scripture. And he said, "That man said I was a fool." And I said to him, "You don't have to be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved." That young man did. I don't know if it was just that night, but I saw him a couple days later, and I said, "You look a lot happier." He said, "Oh, yes. Have you trusted Christ? Are you ready to meet God tonight?" Well, I said there was a third one. You know, in the original, I've got these things out of order here. The first night, God said, "I will smite," because God is the judge. The second night, the issue was the man's soul. And we each have a soul. Well, you know, the third night is not one we're taking from Scripture, but it's right here tonight. I said God has had this night in his mind from eternity past. And what are you doing with this night? Are you accepting Christ or are you turning your back on him? It's a very serious thing. You know, there was a book written called, a book, this is a Night to Remember. There was a book written by Walter Lord with that title about the sinking of the Titanic, because it happened 115 years ago approximately, the sinking of the Titanic. And it was a shock to the world. And so he wrote a book titled A Night to Remember. I want to tell you, you may not remember the date tonight, but if you turn your back on Christ, you will have a night to remember forever. If you receive Christ, you will have a night to remember. Tonight, this is your night as well as God's night. What are you going to do with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, I have a few minutes left over, and when I have time left over, I like to cover one more subject. This is for everybody. The gospel, of course, is for everybody, but most of us in this room, I believe, rejoice that we have trusted Christ. But there are three life basics that's very helpful to keep in mind. And we've talked about one extensively tonight. The blood makes me safe. How do I know that? The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. We get to heaven, we're going to sing about that. Let's read that in Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9, and they sang a new song, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. Redeemed us to God. The blood that should have condemned us brought us to God. If you're saved tonight, the blood makes me safe forever. That doesn't change. It's not a matter of my feelings. You know, God, the salvation is of the Lord. It's God's work. It doesn't depend on our feelings. The blood of Christ makes me safe. The Word of God makes me sure. That's why we have this book here tonight. If we didn't have a word and a revelation from God, we'd have nothing. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. We have not only the blood of Christ provided by God, but we have the Word of God. Don't forget it. When you feel guilty, if you come to Christ for salvation, you don't need to ask for forgiveness. You are forgiven. Remember when Peter asked the Lord in Matthew 18, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother? Till seven times, the Lord said, no, till 70 times seven. The idea being that by the time Peter got that far, it'd be a habit, hopefully. It's just a little picture of God's willingness to forgive. God is a forgiving God. So often we live our lives in needless guilt. When Scripture says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. We don't need to live in guilt. We do live in responsibility. I don't deny that. And God does chasten His children. But we don't need to live in guilt. We may need to feel it temporarily to recognize our sin. The Scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful. He's faithful. We weren't, but He is. It makes all the difference. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That means He does a purifying work. So, God's Word makes me sure. Turn to John 13, please. And there's plenty other verses that would support this idea, but we'll just look at one. John chapter 13 and verse 17. Jesus said these words, "If ye know these things," how do we know anything? From the Word of God. "If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." Obedience is the key to happiness in the Christian life. You know, we get to heaven, we're going to be happy in heaven, of course. Why are we going to be happy in heaven? Because we're going to be holy. No sin. Nothing between our souls and God. And it's good to keep a good conscience down here. Obedience to the Word of God. Obedience is a key to happiness. The Lord Jesus said, "If you know these things, happy are ye if ye do them." And so we have three basic keys to life. The life of faith. The blood makes me safe. The Word of God makes me sure. And obedience makes me happy. But I want to tell you tonight, my friend, if you're not ready to meet God, you will never really be happy unless you do prepare before He takes you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time together. We thank You for the gospel, for the greatness of Your love. We thank You that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We thank You for the simplicity of the gospel and for the availability of the gospel. We thank You for the power of the gospel. We pray that each one here may this night, if they have not before, begin to live in the good of the gospel. And we ask it in Jesus' name.